Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
Episode three in the books.
What's up? I am one half of the Us podcast. My name is Angel Salinas.
And I'm Chris Carmona.
We are two homeboys from Southeast LA, just chilling, having a good time.
Talking about California specifically.
Talking about pop culture, talking about modern things, talking about stuff we love, talking about people we love. Speaking about people we love, Chris, who do we have here today with us?
Well, we actually have two people today. We have our guest and we have a good buddy who's just checking us out and wants to kind of get to know us better before you and I and Justin, before we fucking skyrocket take over the world.
Hell yeah.
But the first person that we should highlight, our our guest, Give him that sick ass that wrestler introduction.
I love what you did there. Hold on. Let me do the intro that we did in the first take, but we had to delete. The person here with us today, his name is Jonathan Justin Jimenez. You might have heard about him from the Bell Chimes, a newspaper in Bell High School, which he is an alumni of, just like me, Angel Salinas. Or maybe from whatever newspaper USC has, because he is also a USC alumni.
He was
also in marching band.
Look at that.
Quick Justin fact, marching band lover of the tuba. But I think we're going to let him talk about more of his post-educational life, his career path, all that good stuff. So, what's up, bro? What brings you here today? Why are you here so late?
What's good, Justin?
You're a nerd, bro.
I'm a nerd.
You are a nerd.
So, what's up, dude? How are you today?
I'm cool. I'm right here.
Dude,
this
Justin.
This is the first one. Us podcast. That's Carmona.
What's up?
Man of great personas. Oh. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was horrible. Anyway. So,
and the second person we have here who's, I don't want to say shadowing because that feels like an intern thing to say, but he's just kind of checking us out.
He's trying to get to know us.
What's your last name, bro?
Danny Perales. Remember that. Shout out Danny Perales.
He was nice enough to come here in fucking midnight to Southgate to check us out.
And today we also have another professional helping
us out. Yes, we actually have three other people. That's cool.
Helping us record this thing. My man, my boy, Hugo Alvarez.
Yeah. Hugo, love you, and I just met you today.
He will be the silent observer as we get this shit rolling.
He's got a big ass grin. Nice.
Another Bell High School alumni. Shout out Bell High School. The Bell Chimes.
Mr. Lansdowne.
So, Mr. Angel, Lansdowne. Since our last podcast, what have you been up to?
I think we'll talk about that at the end of the podcast because today, right now, we're jumping right in to today's topic.
Okay, which, fuck me, right?
Yep.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
There's a reason why we brought our boy Jonathan Justin Jimenez. But I want to ask, what kind of career do you consider yourself? Like when people ask you, what are you doing? What do you do for work? What do you do as a career? What do you usually tell them?
So I think my parents kind of get it right now. But usually what I tell people is that I'm in the music industry.
Ooh.
That's like the quickest and like simplest term for them to understand. Ooh. But if you're in the industry, I usually say, oh, I'm into management.
How long have you been doing this, Justin?
Right out of Bell. I just went in and I started doing whatever.
So how many years like in total? Like five?
Yeah.
Because you're older than me. So five?
Yeah, it's been 5 years since I've been doing this technically.
Damn.
So, I don't know, Angel, if you want to kick something off first or if I should,
I think you had a pretty interesting topic you wanted to talk about.
Justin, that's what he goes by. I know him as Jonathan because I'm cool like that.
And I know him as Justin.
So, Justin, you are manager of a fucking fantastic band called The Altons.
Shout out The Altons. Whoop, whoop.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So...
what does that mean?
Looking at you,
what does that mean being a manager of a band?
Manager?
Sure, that's a good way to start. What is it? What is it to be a manager? What does that entail? Tell us about the life of a manager.
There's a lot of like ways to explain it, and usually my favorite one is the boat.
The boat. So, interesting.
Yeah. So Why? manager is kind of the captain of the boat. He and the band is the engine of the boat. It's the people rowing the boat, basically.
Yeah.
So they power the vessel, and I just manage them to go in a good direction, hopefully, instead of a bad one. So if they want to do this, I'm like, maybe not, maybe do this. If they want to do something that's really creative, I'm like, hey, you're the artist, do that.
Is anybody out there?
What made you pick the Altons? What drew you to, like, what? Because they're pretty much your main client, right?
Yeah.
Your only client or your main?
No, I have them and a co-manager, Kita Penas, with Victor Valle from Counterculture.
So
shout out Kita Penas.
So why the Altons first? Like, what about them is
what drew you to the Altons?
Why do you feel so closely to them?
Well, I mean, we're all from the Southeast LA region.
Yep.
And so growing up, we were probably all in the same, you know, little parties, seeing all these bands come up and just play out of these backyard shows. And so, I mean, they were just one of the bands that I had seen, and I know they had been doing this for a while. And at the time, I was managing Wandering Gypsies. Shout out to them, too.
Shout out Wandering Gypsies.
And then, I don't know, you know, we were just, because usually you start off as a friend, and I was pretty much their friend, but I was also in the industry, so I knew some stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. And so we had our very first show. We went over to San Diego.
Damn.
Not a terrible show, but it wasn't that great. And so, yeah, we out to San Diego, did a show there. Attendance wasn't great. We came back to LA the same night, and we just talked it out, and we just felt connected because we knew each other.
So was
so
it
long.
Just because of like who they were, or was it their music first that spoke to you?
I guess a bit of both, because since I had known them for there was that, and then since I listened to the music, I had booked their first show, ironically.
Huh.
So when you first like were introduced to the band, did you instantly think like these dudes have something? Like, did you have that like movie moment? That biopic moment where you're listening to them and you're like, you could see all their future, and then you see like the fucking money signs pop up on your on your fucking eyes and shit.
Scrooge McScrooge.
Yeah, Scrooge McDuck, you fucking idiot.
I mean, I felt like that about the whole Southeast LA region. Mano Sucia,
yeah.
The Bukakis.
Fuck yeah.
Dharma Bums, Wandering Gypsies.
Wandering Gypsies,
like all these local bands. I felt like, hey, you know, I'm part of something. This is my hood.
Fuck you, Joey.
And I thought all these bands are gonna come up. What? So I felt like that about everybody.
Yeah,
like, my scene was like, you know, the first like place I wanted to help out first, you know, just the hood.
So as I look at you, you are a tall man. You
Jonathan,
have crazy long hair.
Jonathan Justin Jimenez is about 6'3".
He's 6'3". You're a very tall man. You have long hair. You're wearing like a dress shirt, and then under that is a Chola Orange shirt, which is a parody of like a Clockwork Orange tee.
You're
wearing jeans. Why I'm describing your appearance is because you do not look like the typical manager.
Very true.
You don't look like a manager.
Do I have to do blow and be in the 70s?
So, no, exactly. So you see, I wanted to tell you something that I was telling Angel. When you first told me that you were a manager, mm-hmm. it always kind of confused me because I'm like, well, Justin just kind of, first of all, he still says foo a ton.
That is my, I'm known to say that.
You let your hair grow like ridiculously long. And I'm like, and he doesn't wear a suit. This is like in 2016 when I used to think this. 2015, 2016.
This doesn't look like a fucking manager.
Exactly. That's the thing. You don't look like a manager. But then what does that mean exactly? Because then there's people like fucking Doris Munoz who like represents Cuco and stuff. And like she doesn't look like a manager, period. Not even just like a type of manager, like period. But I've noticed that there's like this new breed of like young brown creative, you know, people that are coming up, and like none of us look like what we're supposed to look like. Directors these days don't fucking look like what directors are supposed to look like, you know, managers fucking. So to you, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Like, what why is it? I love that you stay, and I feel like the reason why I admire the fact that you pretty much stayed the same is that you, I know you don't do it to make a point, you just like, because like this is just who you are. So why was it important for you to stay Justin and not conform to like a suit?
Yeah.
Why was that important?
Like, I feel, just to add to what Chris is saying, like, I feel like you've kept your what makes you an individual, and you've kept like who you are and where you came from, and you haven't had to like throw that away because of your career choice, which is what a lot of people I think end up doing. Like,
you're still the same goofball you're in high school. That's the thing.
You call you're a fucking professional.
You call me a nerd. Bro, you're a fucking nerd.
So tell us a little bit about that. Like, what does that entail?
I mean, I don't know. You know, like, it took me a long time to be like, yo, I like who I am. And I'm dope. And I do good what I do. Like, you know, it just took me a while to realize I was good. And like, I accepted. I like myself. Like, I like who I was.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, you know, well, I mean, it's gotten me this far. So I think, like, I don't see a reason to, like, not be who I am. You know, just try to be genuine, you know. So,
did you get any pushback from, like,
all the time.
Like your musicians or other managers and shit like that?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're all the same age group, so I guess, you know, it's still a shock to us that we've gone and done this much, this far, at this age.
How old are you?
And we just, like...
How old are you?
I'm gonna be 23. I'm 22 right now.
What the fuck?
That's awesome.
So yeah, well, I mean, yeah, right? Like, it's crazy how, like, we're this young. Like, Doris is, like, what, 24?
Yeah,
and
bro.
We've done this much this far, and it's...
My name's Angel Salinas.
So I think we understand, like, 24. Hey, like, it's still a shock to us that we're, like, we're still trying to figure ourselves out, but we're successful at what we do.
Nah, dude, that's fucking cool, because, like, the thing is, I just kind of came to being comfortable with, like, dressing up like a fucking just kid from Bell. Because when you first start out, like, I felt the pressure of, like, oh, I gotta dress like a director, like, and again, like, what does that mean? So, you know, to me, that was like dressing in slacks all the time, fucking dress shirts and stuff. But after a while, like, once I kind of, like, just realized, I'm like, when I see people like Donald Glover, like the fucking the Safdie brothers who directed Good Times, like, dude, they just fucking dress in like sweatpants, sweatshirts and like fucking just like, you know, like khakis. It's like, that's fucking cool. Like, that, I wanted to do that. So then I started just emulating, like what I'm wearing right now, this pink fucking Adidas tee,
pink shirt,
corduroys, the chain. Like, I wear that to meetings now because it's like, dude, like, this is what I look like. And if you're gonna fucking work with me, like, this is it. And like,
this occasion calls for it.
But the thing is, it took for me to be inspired by people that I never met to do that. But you did that on your own. So like, that's fucking, that's why I really admire you, because like, you didn't need anybody to get you to that place. You were always... And you've always remained Justin, which is crazy.
I mean, I didn't think about it, you know, because I was doing so much and I was enjoying what I do and I was, you know, just helping these people out and working for these great people and, like, hopefully, you know, doing good by what they do, that it was, like, I didn't think about having to, like, dress nice to dress apart, because...
That's dope,
you know,
man.
We're doing what we do, and, like, I don't think it would matter. I didn't even think about that. Like, no, that's not even a thing I think about. Just go to, what do I do? Like, dress, that's how I dress.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Here's a question, bro. Have you had instances where people don't take you seriously because of how you look?
Great question. I watched, before you answer, I watched an interview with Doris, who, like I said, represents Kuka, and she talks about, I mean, it must be harder for her because she's a woman. And, like, for her to already get a brown, you know, woman representing this dude who's fucking blowing up, that must be tough, and to try to, you know, like, get people's attention. So like, for you, as a tall, you know, very Mexican looking
very goofy
young man, like, how could you share a story where you just felt blatant, not even racism, but just blatant, like, prejudice against you just for how you looked?
Just like not being taken seriously.
Just first off, like, I think whatever I'm gonna say is gonna fucking, like, be, like, to the lowest.
Do it.
Compared to, like, a woman like Doris is gonna face.
Yeah, right.
And to, like, all my bosses that have been women throughout the years. And one of the new agents that I'm working with, I've been in this for years, since the 70s, and, like, with the testosterone filled, you know?
Yeah.
So I think whatever I'm gonna say is gonna not matter as much, you know? Like, it's a problem I can deal with, but they have to still deal with it, dude. Like, Doris has to deal with all these people not taking her seriously.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think I've really felt racism in the industry so far. I think I'm lucky to say that. That's not something to let everybody else know, like, hey, it doesn't exist, because it does. I mean,
yeah,
it's a problem you're still facing every one of industries.
Dope.
Filmmaking. So, yeah, I mean, I think the only real time is just people being surprised that every time they see me for the first time, every time they meet me, it's just always a shock, like, oh.
I was like, oh, you're Jonathan.
Oh, you're Justin.
Really?
Like, yeah, the, and then especially the height is what gets people. It's just like, oh, wow. Yeah, but I don't really have any.
You're a goofy character.
That interesting of a story. It's just usually like my parents saying, like, hey.
I have an interesting story, but not. It's kind of about racism, I guess. I was driving once, and then I got pulled over by a motherfucking cop, and I got so scared, and I pulled over. You know what this dude says? He's like, he comes up to my car, and he's like, do you speak English?
Oh,
that's the fucking first thing he says. And I was like, yeah, I do. And then he's like, and then he became a normal cop. But still, it's like, what the fuck? That's your opening line.
Were you rocking the blonde hair by then? Or
no,
was
I wasn't. I had brown hair. Brown skin.
That's probably why. He's like a.
I was in Vernon and shit. So he was probably just like, all these fucking dumb Mexican people driving their stupid ass Hondas around here.
Yeah.
This fool probably doesn't even speak English. I'm going to open up with that. And then he fucking did. And I was like, now I have
to. So you never experienced racism at all, Justin?
Not really, or that I can recall of. Or maybe, you know, it was, and I just didn't.
That's true. Maybe they just didn't. They just didn't accept it.
Because like, I mean, I've been in Texas, but it's been a great time every time I go to Austin.
Yeah.
Shout out to Texas.
No, I mean, dude, it's fucking cool because, like I've been watching a lot of Atlanta, and, you know, Donald Glover plays the manager, Earn, and, like, he doesn't look like your typical man. And I, you know, that's kind of when I started taking notice of just, like, people that are young but fucking brilliant. But they just don't look like your typical, you know, like not a guy in a suit, like saying, hey, I can make you guys famous. It's like, you're just a guy. And like, but the thing is, it's like, you know, it's always just like, there's more than what the appearance gives you. And I think that's what makes you guys fucking like, almost like superheroes. Like that's like, that's like your superpower. Yeah. It's just like that.
It's
you
like
guys,
people think you're a hoodlum, but right. No, dude, I'm just,
you're like, I'm actually really smart and fucking coordinated. So what about you? So what appealed to you about being a manager? Cause I know you started off as a musician first. Tell us a little bit about that. Like your musician backgrounds and like what got you to become a manager.
Actually, Jonathan Justin Jimenez, you wanted to be a filmmaker too, right?
What? Okay, this is new to me.
Yeah, bro.
What? So,
well, that's why I said a shout out to Lansdowne, cause that's what I thought my career path was. I was going to go. I enjoy it because, I mean, I think we're all film connoisseurs here. We all, like, try to watch all these movies super soon. We all, like these obscure movies. And, I mean, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do that because it's going to be hard to be a musician. I can't, like, do, like, this instrument professionally because it's been not enough and I'm not that good, honestly. I was like, yeah, dude, like, filmmaking lands on, like, my script. I got into the screenwriting
For everyone that doesn't know, Mr. Lansdowne is the film teacher at Bell High School that both me and Jonathan Justin Jimenez head, as well as Hugo. Shout out to Mr. Lansdowne. Man. Shout out to Roy Lansdowne.
Lansdowne is so helpful, and he's just so passionate about teaching
kids. I've only
kids.
Heard about him.
He's a fucking legend. One of the dopest white people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, dude, he helped me so much. And yeah, dude, I got into screenwriting at USC.
What?
And then I was in the film department, and then I transferred to English. And I was just in that for a while, so doing the film classes as well. But then I was like, at a certain point, I'm like, you know what? I'm doing music this much. I might as well do that. Because the reasoning I had behind that is that I thought I was going to make less in the music industry. I thought I wasn't going to do it. So I thought I was like, hey, I'll just go do film. And yeah, I mean, it had been my third year. And I was like, you know, I'm doing all these things in music. Yeah. I might as well just pursue that.
You switched to music in your third year?
Yeah. So so that's why I have that at my end year of USC. But yeah, and then I fell into managing just because I was like, hey, you know, I'll try this. Like, I've read knowledge articles because I wanted to be a talent buyer. I wanted to, like, do music festivals.
What is that? Talent buyer?
So a talent buyer in the music industry, he's, like, the cool guy. Like, that's the cool job, is booking all these bands for whatever you're at, the venue, the music festival.
Yeah.
The, you know, the whatever market, whatever, wherever.
Right.
You book that. Like, that's your thing. So I wanted to do that because, like, you know, I have all these, like, cool Latin bands,
but what
these
got you
bands.
To like? What got you even find out about that? Because like that's like not stuff that I would know about.
That seems like you don't. That's things you don't think of,
right?
As like a kid, like I just found out about it through just being like into music and just through going to all these local shows. And I'm like, she manages, you know, the venue, and then so who gets the bands? This person gets the bands. And then, so people, like, manage those bands. So, like,
So while the kids are like fucking hole, getting blazed, you know, in the fucking back of the backyard, like, you were, like, asking, like, hey, how does, like, who manages this guy? Like, these group of guys. Like, you were just, inquisitive. Like,
you guys have a manager?
It's like you find out people, like, super local level, like, you were a collective. You found out about those guys. Remember homie was like, oh, you like Chino Batman? This guy manages him.
What?
They're my homies. And then I'm like, what? So then you just like just keep on falling deeper into the hole and you just learn stuff.
Yeah, I can.
Like
I can,
if you like something, you're like you'll eventually like go into it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can say that. Hanging around Justin for a while, this dude's been getting me into like all these like VIP shit. He's like, I'll just come in before the show. Here, let me give you a little wristband. It's all access shit. I'm meeting like all these people and I'm like, it feels like so crazy to me. But for this dude, it's just his fucking everyday life. He's like, yeah, I always.
Yeah, it's not a big deal, man.
Yeah, it's not a big deal anymore. But I'm fucking there like. I'm there once the show's over and all the security guards are kicking everyone out without a wristband. And I'm fucking standing there with a goddamn wristband on my hand and it's shit's fucking dope. And like, I've never been in a super empty venue and the band's just like kicking it with me. And I'm like, I can't even imagine how that must feel. Like to, for that to be like your normal shit.
It's cool, man.
So for you, what's the goal? What do you want to do? Like, I know that you're kind of like doing what you want to do, but like what kind of effect do you want to have on
this? Just having this be full time and just helping all these people.
So you want to do managing like full time?
Yeah, man. I mean, well, that's like, I think at this point we all like know what you want to do. So it's just like going and achieving it and just putting in, you know, the process of having it done.
So then what do you want to like, this is a question I like to ask people just because like, you know, me and Angel were very much about being remembered and that, you know, it's kind of
true.
It's kind of, I think when you think of a filmmaker being remembered, you can kind of think like what they want to be remembered for, their films. But for someone like you who kind of really just handles things behind the scenes, what do you want to be remembered for? What's your like
remembered for?
Yeah.
Or at all.
If you want to be remembered at all, that's a good...
I guess having been from the Southeast LA region and having helped and start like a thing to help like all these Latin bands and having them become mainstream in the U.S., like that'll be pretty cool. Like so he was part of this wave.
Right. So what does Southeast LA mean to you? Because I want to share something with you that I shared with Angel in an early episode.
Hmm?
What was the meow song that we were singing earlier? Meow. I forgot what it was.
It was Megadeth.
Anyway, so I was telling Angel that when you hosted that little film festival thing, and I remember it said, because you run also Urban Badlands.
Shout out to Urban Badlands. What the hell is that? What the hell is an Urban Badlands?
Well, hang on. Let me finish my story real quick. When you were hosting that, I remember it said Urban Badlands and Sela presents. And I remember I walked up to you like at the event. I'm like, hey man, like what's Sela? I'm like, is that another organization that you run? And you're like, no dude, like that's where we live. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're like, Sela, Southeast LA, like that's our region.
It's us, bro.
And dude, I'm telling you, you really changed my life almost indirectly in that way because no, I'll tell you why. Because I had no idea that that was what we were called. I always thought that we were East LA, bro. Like I used to tell people like, where are you from? Like, oh, I'm from East LA. Like, where's that? Like, where's that? I'm like, oh, it's near Downey. And they're like, oh, okay. But the thing is, once I found out we were Southeast LA, that like changed my whole perspective. Just like on, like, it's because of you, dude. Honestly, like once I knew that we had a name, I'm like, okay, this is great. Like, I want to keep everything here in Bell, Maywood, Cudahy, Southgate. So like,
fuck yeah.
That's what now it means to me because I feel like There's a rumbling in our area that people didn't ever expect to come because we said people are kind of unmotivated. They don't think that anything's going to happen here. So
it does feel
my like question that. Then to you is like, what does it mean? What does Southeast LA mean to you? What does being from Southeast LA mean to you? And why are you so passionate about it? Like, why were you so passionate about putting it like on the flyers of stuff?
Yeah. It's like, why are you still here, bro? Like, why do you stay here? Cause I know why I would stay here. And I think Chris knows why he stays here.
Yeah.
Why do you stay here, bro?
I mean, this is where I live, bro. There's nothing. That's like, true. This is where my house is. I can't go anywhere soon until I have enough money to move to a new place.
That's true.
It's just, you know, it's... Think about it, bro. Like, it's such a dense pocket, such a dense region, Southeast LA. Well, there's more people packed in this city, 100,000s, in just Maywood, which is barely a mile, over a mile, 1.2 miles of the city. So, like, that is... Think about that. Throughout the whole Southeast LA region, all these people are packed in such a dense place that we go through our lives like, you know, oh, you know, there are all these like Latino people everywhere. You know, this is just, it feels like at my house, you know, because I have all these people who have skin color like mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just kind of get, yeah, you get a sense of like love and just, you know, just affection for your region because you have all these homies from all this concentrated place that, you know, like, and you connect through over these years, over these 21 plus years, even as you go to college. And I was like, oh, you know, this is like a region where I have my homies and my family have everything here.
And that's honestly, true. Dude, why I attribute the love that I ended up gaining for Southeast LA to you because like seeing how passionate you were just about like keeping all the business here and keep and not like fucking doing it like in Whittier or like, you know, somewhere else. Like you kept it here. You kept it all here. And that's why like I just thought like, dude, like that's so fucking cool that like you're keeping it here. And like once I knew we had a name, once I saw how like fucking passionate, dude, like you really were the first to do it. You didn't need anybody to inspire you to just fucking be you. You didn't need anybody to tell you like, hey, keep your shit here because, you know, you want to give back to the community. And in a way you were giving back before, like, giving back was even, like, suggested to you.
Dude, straight up, like, I like that you said that because I honestly have, like, the same fucking story. And this is going to sound like me and Chris just fucking sucking
suck each other's off. Yeah.
But I swear, dude, like, I had the exact same reaction because up until, like, I found out all the shit you were doing with Urban Badlands, my goal was to just get the fuck out of here.
Yes,
and, like,
yes.
And
yes.
to just make That's shit cool. just make shit outside.
Yes,
and
then fine I, too, man.
And then I saw this dude, fucking Jonathan Justin Jimenez, like, doing a Maywood fucking festival, like a Maywood music fest. And I was like, why the fuck would you make a Maywood music fest?
Why would you do that here?
Yeah, and then doing, like, a little art, like a fucking art thing that you did with Celico. I remember that shit. Like, an art festival
yeah,
and
art,
shit.
Yeah,
and, like, it was just festivals in our area. And I was like, dude, this dude is putting time and money and resources into this fucking city that I've been trying to avoid, like, my whole fucking life. And then it just became, like, a fucking switch. It's like, why am I running away
right.
and making that shit harder for the people to come after me?
Yes.
And the fucking switch was seeing you fucking trailblazing that shit and being like, dude, we have a shitload of talent here. Why not showcase it instead of, like, outsourcing somewhere else?
People one day might in the future call you and me and people that come out of Cella like the fucking founding fathers of, like, bringing, like, making Cella popular. But fucking Justin, the man
you
sitting
heard
right
here,
folks. He's the godfather. This is the guy who got the fucking ball rolling. If it wasn't for him,
God.
If it wasn't for Urban Badlands, which we'll get into in a bit, if it wasn't for all the fucking contributions he's made to our community, like, I would not have been inspired. Angel wouldn't have been inspired.
True.
And you would have no fucking podcast. Oh, you'd have no fucking Bad Labor.
I'd be fucking
Dude, straight up, there would be no fucking Bad Labor. Because I would have thought, oh, this sounds like a Mexican movie. Let me go shoot this, like, in fucking Tijuana or something, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't think to keep it here only until you fucking told me that we had a name, that we had an identity. And you brought that to us. So that's why
I really
fucking admire you. So tell us a little bit about Urban Badlands. Like, what is that? And what's going on with that right now?
Nah, man, I think you guys would have still done stuff just because you're so creative on your own and you're amazing on
your own. We definitely
would
have done stuff, but we would not have thought to keep it here.
Yeah, exactly. We would not have kept it in the area. We would have been like...
Because now I'm passionate about keeping it here. Like, it needs to be here.
Well, I'm lazy, bro. You know what? I just want to walk. I would literally... Dude, I would walk to these...
If a movement was born,
I would
have
walked
Jonathan's
to these
laziness,
Bell.
That's hilarious.
They would have family food truck Friday nights. I would walk to these events, do it, and then come back home. And I would just be back home. And I could walk to and from there. No, well, I mean,
like,
I don't know.
Well,
like, it's
the reason I made Bad Labor is because, well, fucking Tacos Mexico.
It's right there. I mean, why don't I gotta fucking drive out
Tacos
to the fucking
Mexico.
Valley to do that shit?
It's like, fuck it, I'll just shoot it here.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's think about it. Like, I think in my, one of my homies was like, I was like, dude, I can't do this. Like, I have, like, I need the resources,
okay.
And, like, I can't do this music festival because I don't know these people. I swear to God, he just looked at me like, you scum. He was like, just ask one of your homies, dude. I'm pretty sure you know somebody in your group that could do this. Huh. And I was like, oh, that's right. I do have all these homies who are doing all this stuff here.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what
I was like,
realized.
Oh, well, I'll just do this. I'll reach out to them and we'll be like, hey, you know, we're going to help each other out. Like, dude, in the long run, let's do this stuff. And, like, now all these homies are just coming up and doing all this stuff just because... You know, we're so local that I think that's why we reach out to each other because, you know, feels.
Dude,
really
that's
makes sense.
That's what. I don't know if I've mentioned it already, but that's all we fucking need. Like, all we needed, I think, and me and Chris are living proof, all we needed was to see someone doing it.
Yep.
So we can believe that we can do it too.
That it was possible. And even though, like, you might say that what you were doing was pretty small scale, like, look what you fucking inspired out of Angel. Look what
we're
you
doing
fucking
a fucking podcast now, bro.
But just, like, dude, like, it's going to be – now it's going to be, like, we're taking it fucking global only because – you might say it's at laziness. I think that's pretty fucking funny that this whole movie was born out of laziness. But honestly, it's just the fact that you, like, I know subconsciously just have, like, that innate love for where you came from. And you're like, you know, I'm going to keep it here. Like, why go anywhere else when I could keep it here? Like, because you decide to make that one choice, dude, honestly – you're the reason my career exists. You're the reason fucking Angel's career exists.
Damn.
Like, really? No. At least in the trajectory it was going, because I honestly thought, like, oh, I'll just make a couple cool action movies. And I was honestly just, like, thinking, like, I'll be a Quentin ripoff maybe. But
they were cool
because,
action movies.
No, but because you did it first, now I'm like, all right, here's my identity, Southeast LA. And, like, every movie that I make from here on in, now that is in Southeast LA is because of your fucking influence. So, guys, this is why you should know Jonathan Justin Jimenez, because so, he is a fucking pioneer, a grandfather.
Right. So if you don't see fucking Jonathan Justin Jimenez on every single special thanks at the end
he's
of
on, you're on bad labor. You're on bad labor.
I know my name was. Yeah, dude, that labor. I was excited about because you got the Altons to do that.
Urban Badlands
dude,
on there, too.
That Altons was on great.
There you go, bro.
Man. Well, yeah. Oh, Urban Battle. That was the original question.
Circling back.
Yeah, we.
All right, guys, let's go back.
So we've been mentioning this thing called Urban Badlands a lot. A lot of people might not know what the fuck Urban Badlands even is. So let's talk about that shit.
Walk it.
So, and it was. It's a music festival out in Southeast LA, but also tried doing other stuff like doing that short film screening.
Yep.
Just helping out the homies and DJing sometimes every
dude, that's going to be a fucking legendary. Hopefully, when people look back, that's going to be like a legendary film fest. Because you had Chris Carmona. You
had
Chris Carmona. You had Cesar Cervantes.
Yes.
You had Angel Salinas.
Hugo was on that too.
You
had
fucking Hugo Alvarez. You had fucking Gary. What's his last name?
Alvarez.
Gary Alvarez. Hugo Alvarez. Fucking crazy, bro. Like all these crazy ass dudes from Southeast LA all in one little film festival. That shit's fucking cool.
I was so honored for that, by the way.
No,
walk us through Urban Badlands.
Yeah, how'd that shit start?
Sip of water, my bad.
No, no worries.
Yeah, so it was a music festival, but I mean, it started way back in 2013, I think it was, right after I left high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And I reached out to Carla. I was like, hey, I'm going to do this. She's like, oh, cool, I'll reach out to the mayor. I'm like, no, dude, like, I want to do this. I don't want to do it now. It's like, you know, in the future, an idea I want to do. So she was like, oh, well, reach out to the mayor. The mayor from Maywood is like, oh, I've been trying to do this in the park. I'm like, okay, cool. So I take over and then do the Maywood Music Fest for 2 years. And then I'm like talking to the people who helped me out, Abel and Carlos.
Shout
out.
Like,
hey, you know, I want to do more. Shout out to those guys. I'm like, you know, we should do more, you know. Like, so we changed our name to
Because it used to be called the Maywood Music Fest.
Yeah,
before.
The Maywood Music Fest. So we changed our name to Urban Badlands.
You know, funny enough, my band played there. I used to have a band named Infamous.
What the
and we played
fuck?
The
what? I did not know.
What was it called?
It's called Infamous. We were called Infamous.
Infamous?
Yeah.
It was called Chris Carmona and the Infamous.
Chris
band.
Carmona's
and the
Infamous.
Infamous
is what it was called.
Oh, my God.
No, it was just called Infamous. So I did play the Maywood Music Fest.
That's hilarious.
Funny that you took it over.
That's been connected cool. for so long, we didn't even know.
Dude, straight up. Oh, dude, talking about fucking connections. Just recently, me and Justin realized that we met in fucking middle school.
Dude, that's right. Dude, that is right.
I fucking... Like, there's this thing in Nimitz Middle School called Woodcraft Rangers.
Oh, my God. We didn't
it's an after-school program.
Shout out to Nimitz. Yeah, it's called Woodcraft Rangers, and it's everywhere. And fucking Justin tells me, oh, yeah, I was a part of Woodcraft Rangers. And we have a mutual friend named Joel Ramirez.
Shout and Joel's like, no way.
Shout out to Joel Ramirez. And I was like, yeah, Joel was Woodcraft Rangers. And Justin was like, yeah,
me
dude,
too.
He was teaching me guitar. And then I had this fucking, like... repressed memory just fucking
dude.
Come back to me, dude. Like, out of nowhere, I remember this afternoon where I was sitting at the lunch benches talking to my friend Joel.
Yeah.
And fucking Justin comes over with a fucking guitar and he's like, hey, Joel, how do you do a G chord again?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, this kid is so fucking annoying. Like, who is this?
Oh, my God.
Dude? And then.
First impression, you're annoying.
And then fucking Joel is just like, oh, yeah, that's a kid that I'm teaching guitar to. And then I never. Thought of him ever
dude.
Again.
Sounds like we're writing a biopic.
No reason
right
to think of
we're
him ever again.
Straight
this
up,
guy out of history.
Fucking flash forward, what, fucking 12 years?
Insane amount of
and
years.
We're all fucking sitting here doing a podcast together. Like,
oh,
what the
oh
fuck?
My God.
What are the chances? That shit is wild. Anyway,
dude.
Back to
so
Urban
what is
Badlands.
Urban Badlands?
So Urban Badlands is a music festival, but also a collective of artists and people who work in the industry and just people who feel passionate about doing that.
Here's a question.
Okay.
Who's DJ Badlands?
Oh my God. DJ Badlands, people, is myself. And then whenever Gabriel Vasquez, shout out to him, whenever he shares vinyl, I take some of his records and I DJ with him at the side. And yeah, we just party and have a good time. So come out to the Levitt June 21st with Katsuoso and July 14th, I want to say.
And Katsuoso is an artist that you come.
Katsuoso is an artist.
Shout out to
Katsuoso. I don't manage
this. You don't manage? Oh, you have
no,
one.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. My bad.
Yeah, so and then July, somewhere around there in July, go to Levitt Pavilion. Sometime around there, I'll DJ with La Chamba.
Throw your handle real quick.
Yeah, look out for some shows. Some shows are coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know when this fucking
throw your handle for some people who don't know you.
My handle? You can go to Urban Badlands or you go to Counter Justin.
Counter Justin, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's.
What's Urban Badlands?
Just do. just doing that, events, festivals, trying to bring these brown artists up, DJing, trying to throw short film fest with people like yourselves,
fuck
with
yeah.
Los Art Studios and Tina Rascuache,
hey,
and
the
Carmona. Back. Genius.
To the
Chris Carmona. Chris Carmona.
God, I'm never going
to
live
that. And just, down. I mean, anything like that, you know, just try to, if it's creative and if, like, you need help, like, bro, let's do it somehow.
Yeah, reach out to him.
We'll figure it out.
So since then, you've also been associated with another group, Counterculture.
Counterculture Group.
Talk about the Counter Foods.
Shout out to
that.
The Counter Foods, so, bro.
Tell everybody about that.
So Counterculture Group is a company started by Victor Valle, who also brought on Carolina Galindo as a day-to-day manager.
What up, Caro? What up, Vic?
What up, Caro and Vic? You. And then he has his own artists, and then he has his own team throughout for Orale Magazine through a festival. And their names were Albert and Julian, who also helped out. And yeah, it's a management agency primarily now. And we manage artists such as Quitapenas and Dalton's myself. And I manage Quitapenas with Victor Valle, who also manages Katsuoso, and Travis Hayes as well as Emily Afton. And
check out all
a variety
these,
of all,
all these
of
artists are fucking dope. Jay Stone.
Jay Stone is amazing. Keep out.
Quitapenas.
It's going to come out dope.
Katsuoso. The Altins. Fucking
people.
Everybody's dope.
Yeah,
Counterculture. So, check them out.
So I manage all these artists with the...
So did you start... Victor. I'm sorry, I probably missed this, but did you start this or you just...
No. Victor started this. I just...
You joined.
I met Victor because at the time, John Larris, who runs Cielo Agency, was the agent for the Altins. And I talked to him because he knew Victor and I was... Because he was a school friend with Victor. And so I told him, like, yeah, man, like, if Victor wants to do something in LA, I'm down. Let's do it. You know, that won't help. You know, I want to grow more. And so I talked to Victor eventually during this winter. And, yeah, I jumped on board through, like, various talks and just, like, trying to figure out who we were and what our goals were. And I jumped on in July, or June. So it's been about a year since I've been at Counterculture.
I think
yesterday was the day that was a year.
Damn.
So shout out to those
guys.
So
the year that Counterculture's been...
It's either today or yesterday, one of those two.
Wow, dude,
happy anniversary.
Awesome,
yeah, so I mean, and we're just a management agency trying to bring up...
So are you looking for more artists?
And you're doing
always,
a
man.
I'm sure that our listeners listening who are like our fans are singing this, so they probably want to know, can Justin represent
so
me?
If you want, I'm always looking for people to help out, people that I'm passionate about, that's what I've known. Oh, that's why I manage Quitapenas and Dalton's just because I've been passionate
so
about
them. So
what
type of artists get you excited?
Ooh.
Just be good, bro. Like, I mean, like,
just be
good.
Like,
range from,
right?
Like,
so if you're not, like, what do you look like? You see something, obviously, in Keith Bennett. You see something in the Altins. Like, what is it about them that excites you?
Well,
what are you looking for?
These people have been passionate about what they do for such a long time, and they've been going at it before I've been there, and they've been doing it by themselves, which takes a lot of time because it's a second job. They have to figure out how to do and be more creative. It's like anybody in the creative industry. You do this. You sculpt. You do whatever. You make films, and then you have your day job probably to sustain yourself. And so if you're going at it for long enough, people notice, and I'm excited because they've been doing it long enough that they care about it, and I care about it because like their music and like what they're trying to do.
Yeah, dude.
So if you have that, I mean, it's like I'll probably let this talk.
That's
yeah, I feel like that's something that a lot of local artists and bands like the hardest hump to go over, you know? Like, me and Justin talk about all these fucking talented-ass people that we saw come out of Bell High School, but we talked about how, why aren't more of them making it? And I feel like it's this, like, this fucking peak at the hill that no one, almost nobody fucking reaches over. And I think that's what fucking separates, like, a band like the Altins from a band like, I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to make any fucking...
Cheeseman alert.
Yeah, exactly. No cheeseman right now. But there's a lot of bands that just can't, they can't make that break. Like, do you notice when a band, I guess, has the potential to go over that hill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you have to be in the industry to, like, realize, like, yeah, bro, this track's fire, but why aren't you, like, doing this to, like, help yourself out?
Justin, I want to bring up a story, if you don't mind.
A ver, what?
Something that we always talk about whenever we're about to get projects off the ground.
Ooh,
Wandering nice. Gypsies related?
No way.
Do you want to talk about this? Can we talk about this?
Yeah, man, go for it, whatever.
What?
So, a couple of years ago, right, honestly, the year, was it the 2016?
It was, like,
2015.
Damn, we're both young.
Yeah, so it was
like
right after,
first
I was hot off the Oscars, and I wanted to do something really exciting.
This fool was hot off the Oscars.
Dude. God, yes. Look
and
at
we
him.
Were going to do, and so Justin messaged me. He's like, hey, do you want to do a fucking music video for the Wandering Gypsies? And he sent me two songs. And I'm like, dude, these songs are fucking dope. I want to do both of them.
It was very excited.
So I had this incredibly ambitious, we were talking about last week.
Oh, yeah.
It was very ambitious idea to do like a back-to-back video where like we did one for a song called Beachcomber and another one for a Western-like song mm-hmm. called Fair. Mm-hmm. And it would be like a story, like a two-part story music video. I was 18 at the time, so like,
dude, I can't believe you said you weren't gonna do it. I thought you were. Like, I had no doubt in my mind that you would accomplish this. You're like, yeah, I got this money.
Damn, fucking
I know
drama.
This place. I'm no, like, see, all right,
I
let's
had
do
to.
It.
I had to front like that in front of people. When I talked to my girlfriend at the time, I was just like, I don't know how the fuck I'm gonna do this, but I'm
no way,
I'm gonna make it happen.
Classic, I will do it. I was there. I'm like, yeah, well, it's gonna happen regardless because we know it.
Classic Chris Carmona.
So the point is that we spent a few months, you know, getting this. I pitched a story to the band. They uh-huh. they approved of it. I moved on with different drafts and drafts, and I sent it to you. Like, this is great. Like, they like it. And then it all culminated into one meeting. It all culminated into one meeting where, because the video was pretty comedic and it was like really fun and epic and like really like not effects heavy, but just like there was a lot of effects driven and it was really fun. It was a time traveling video because they had a bus. I'm like, what if this bus was a time traveling bus that took them into different times? For the first song, Beachcomber, and then they get stuck in the West, and that would lead us into Fet, which was the Western signing song. And I wrote this cool, like, Western music video with, like, a shootout at the end, and I was gonna have, like, a special guest star in it and everything.
So you mean, like, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, a movie that you
I guess so, yeah, I'd never seen, but I guess something like that.
But it was the Carmona version.
So it was heavily comedic, because when I met them, like, these guys seem very funny, and these guys seem fun. Because their original idea was like, oh, like for this one, we were just thinking about doing like a growlers thing where we were just a bunch of homeless people riding around in shopping carts. I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting for the growlers because they're the fucking growlers. Like, people want to see famous people doing like, you know, like whatever shit. But nobody knows who the wandering gypsies are. Like, this would be the way I pitched it to them was like, this would be a cool introduction to you because like, not only do you have a fucking kick-ass music video with a story, like people get to know your personalities through this too. Mm-hmm. So I did a bunch of drafts of this. We came to one that we were really proud of. And then when we had a meeting with the band, what did they tell me, Jonathan?
They're like, yeah, man, no.
Like, yeah. Like, we don't, like, we feel like this is a little too comedic. Like this isn't the really direction we're trying to go.
It's too funny.
Like, yeah, it's too, that's exactly what they told me. And I was like, I said, well, guys, like, you should have told me that from the beginning. Like, oh, we don't want to hurt your feelings.
People take it differently.
What annoyed me about that was like from the beginning, I told them like, guys, like, you guys can shit on it as long. I said, I just want to make something great. Like, you guys can shit on my ideas. Like, I just want to make something great. I want to do something that makes you happy. And because they held that back until like the very end when we were almost good to go, they're like, nah, like, we don't want to do this anymore.
Shaking my damn head.
Well, I mean, you know, people do things differently. People think themselves differently. So I have bad to say when I left them, and we let the mutual accord.
So that's the thing that me and Justin, we talk about. Like, there could have been cool music, but like once we kind of, I remember it was that meeting on the bus where like we were all just kind of, it was really tense because like nobody, let's hold for that plane. We nobody was mad, but I think the thing was just like I was a little like upset that like we didn't want to hurt his feelings kind of offended me only because I'm like, do they really think that like I wouldn't be susceptible to notes? That was the only thing that like upset that. But
don't they know who I am? I'm Chris Carmona.
You know what? I want to be like, you can be like me one day when you grow up.
No, but that it really upset me because like I was ready to just fucking go like balls out on this, and like at the last minute they're like, oh no, we actually just kind of really like that homeless guy idea. And I'm like, but that's good for the growlers, guys, not for you. Nobody knows who you are.
It's all good though. I don't think anybody's mad at each other. You know what? Just
right.
We left on our own understanding. So nobody's mad at each other.
But this is a story of like a band that just can't get over the fucking
that's honestly why I brought them up, because they're so fucking talented. There's something inside. And I know, Justin, you really don't have to speak on this. I know, because like, I know you still fucking chill with them and everything. But like on my end, like what disappointed me about them was that they weren't willing to take that risk. Mm. And that to me is the big problem with just like people in general. Is like they want to get big, but they don't want to take the steps.
I feel that.
It's scary. Like, I realize like, cause there was a lot of comedic moments in there that might have made them look kind of silly, but they didn't want to take that risk of like, you know, because it was silly, but it wasn't like it wasn't embarrassing. Yeah. Like, I wasn't trying to embarrass them. I was just trying to make them likable for people who had no idea who they were. Like, these guys look fucking cool. Like, I'd love to go to a show to one of their shows. Yes.
It was just like a classic case of just like wanting to play it safe because you're just too scared. There you know, because sometimes, especially if you're like either investing money into it or your time or you're fucking might even be investing like your band and your look and shit. It's like it's hard to take.
And
that
see,
risk.
I get that, but the thing is, like, what I respect about Justin, what I respect that you is like these people, like people that I work with. I pride myself in working with people who are willing to take risks. My friends, when they did my videos in high school, they risked looking like jackasses.
Mm-hmm.
But they were more than happy to do it because now, like, they, like, my friend Eduardo even tells me himself, he's like, dude, like, if it wasn't for you, like, I wouldn't have, like, the confidence to talk to, like, you know, be as confident, like, when I'm just talking to strangers now. He's like, because you gave me, like, you made me look like an asshole so much in your videos that, like, now I'm just like,
hey, no burrito. Like,
I fucking played a fucking, you know, I played a chicken in one of your videos. So, like, you know, here, like, this is, you know.
You can't go lower than that.
Yeah, like, you can't. So it's like, whatever. How's it going? And, like, because of that, like, because they were willing to take that risk, even, like, even if I had to, like, nudge them, they wouldn't do that. And, like, unfortunately, a band as talented as fucking great as they are, they weren't willing to do that. And that's the only thing that disappointed me about them.
I feel like it, yeah. I actually want to talk about one more thing before Justin has to go home, I believe, even though it's really fucking late. But I want to talk about how...
What time is it, Angel?
Don't worry about it.
1:44 p.m.
Oh my God. So, Justin, you're going to be 23 this year?
That's right. Oh, my
God. I'm going to be 24, Chris.
I'm going to be 22 this year.
So, wow. We're all relatively young as fuck creatives. Yeah. And I feel like we all have to deal with people that are kind of older in our you know, everyday lives in our workplace, man. And shit.
Yes,
and I want to talk about how each of us feels about, like, I guess the older generation or the older people that we work with, some problems, some benefits, what people can do better, shit like that. Chris, you can start us off.
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
You fucking idiot.
Buzz, please, I'm sorry.
Oh my fucking God. I want to talk about how the fact that we're young creatives and right. we sometimes have to work with older generation,
okay,
older people, and how we as creatives, all three of us, like, traverse that fucking landscape, and just like, what are some problems that we've seen arise? What are some good things that we've seen, like, older generations do for the younger generation? Shit like that, our experiences.
Well, mine'll be pretty quick because I know people are gonna hate me for this, but I've never had an experience where people have, like, looked down on me. Even when I was just starting out, like, one of my first big gigs was getting to be an assistant to a director named John Turteltaub, who directed the National Treasure movie, Sorcerer's nice. Apprentice.
Classics.
Indeed.
Cool Runnings. And now he's doing his upcoming movie, The Meg, stars Jason Statham. And I got to work for him. And he was nothing but nice to me. Like, it's funny because he kind of tried to be mean to me. He kind of tried to, like, but playfully. He tried to be, like, harsh, but, like, I was just, like, too, like, I think he just liked me too much to be mean, so he'd be like, nah, I'm just kidding. And, like, the thing is, you know, like, the narrative for Latinos these days is, like, oh, white people suck, old white people suck, like, they're so old school traditional. And I think the thing is, because I was so naive then, I didn't even think of that. Like, I saw everybody as equals to me. So I think they felt that, like, they didn't feel the resistance of, like, brown versus white. So because I was like, really, they were, like, talking like a little kid, you know, so they welcomed me into that. And I think that's another thing, like, you know, it's cool to be, like, right now I am very, like, you know, I'm a little, I've grown a little bit of resentment towards some white people these days. But back then it was not like that at all. This is before Trump became president. This is 2015.
Fuck you, Donald Trump.
So because of that, like, they treated me as a peer. And I think there's something important to having sort of that, like, blindness to he's an old white man, John Turteltaub. He's an old white man.
True.
But because, like, we kind of treat each other like father and son a little bit, like, aww. I admired him because of that. And so, like, I think there's something to that. Like, you have to just treat really just people like how you want to be treated. Like, I wanted to be treated with respect because I knew I was going to be a big time director one day, someday, if that. And because he saw that in me, he treated me with that respect, and he wrote me a beautiful letter of recommendation to many places.
Fuck
and so
yeah.
I think the thing is, we shouldn't villainize these people. Like, innately, I know as we get older, we become more cold and cynical, especially with, like, the political stuff going on. So it's a lot easier to, like, villainize these people that are older, successful, and white. But we have to understand that it's like it's not their fault that they're there. One day, dude,
it's
one
not
day
their people, fault, they're old and white.
No, dude, one day people are going to hate you. One day people are going to hate me, you True. And me for being older and successful. They'd be like, you guys are fucking sellouts. You guys are not true. So like, they're going to hate us. And we have to like, it's not our fault that we followed our dream. These guys just followed their dream. John Turturro didn't become a director to fucking spite Mexicans, you know? Like, he just wanted to live his dream and he's fucking doing that. And so I think the thing is we have to remember is that everybody that we look up to, everybody that's our boss, they're fucking human in the end. So if we kind of treat it with that blindness, I mean, we should be aware. We should still say woke, you know? But like, we should be aware that these are people. And it really just comes down to just having respect.
Mm. That really was a quick story, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I tried my best.
You try your best.
So, Justin, you talked about how you work with people that have been doing this for like 15, 20 years and shit. And I've personally seen you interact with like older managers and shit like that. So what do you have to say about the topic?
I mean, I've had to deal with a lot of older people, but not in a negative sense, also, thankfully, most of the time. Because I think, like, no, a lot of people just go out to look like, or maybe, you know, maybe they don't, you know. A lot of people encounter these things like, oh, you know, this happened to me with this person. I'm just like, I haven't, thankfully, dealt with that. So I guess I don't have, like, a prejudice to go into these things, like, trying to look for a problem. But, yeah, I mean, that everybody I've worked with has been just really helpful and great so far. Thankfully, I haven't had a bad encounter to say these people were not good. But I mean, obviously, if you were, like, this did happen, like,
do people underestimate? Do you think anyone underestimates you because of your age, like your ability as a manager?
Underestimate me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really bad in a, not bad. I'm just my negotiating isn't my favorite thing to do as a manager.
But sometimes it's like, afraid to come off like an asshole or what?
No, just because I'm just like, I just want to get this done, bro. Like, stop trying to haggle me. Like, this is not what we need to get.
It's like when you're selling a used car and you're like, bro, I fucking said 800.
I know. It's like, dude, yes. Are you for real trying to do it? Like, whenever you get a low ball price, I'm just like, I can't do this. This is a price. I'm sorry. If I tell a band, they're going to think I'm crazy, which I'm not. So I'm not going to give this to the band in the first place.
That's
true.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, mainly trying to deal with that and like people just being like, oh, you know, listen, and I'll be like, wait, hold a minute. This looks weird in the contract. Or what did you just tell me? It sounded weird.
Angel.
Do you get anyone to be like, you, what the fuck do you know? I've been doing this fucking 25 years.
No, nothing like yelling too much. No, yeah.
That's
no.
Good.
What about you, buddy?
For me, I just feel like the older generation isn't doing enough to help the younger generation. Like, I don't see anyone doing I don't see anyone doing kind of like mentorship programs or like, I don't know, giving back to the fucking younger generation. Number two, that was number one. But number two, nobody's given fucking young people, like, any huge chances to create these days.
It's hard, man.
I think it's fucking super hard for us. We have to, like, cultivate this own space for ourselves, you know? Like, Chris had to fucking make bad labor in order for fucking Me Too to even look at this dude to fucking make a web series and shit, you know?
That's true. That's true. Like, I think, though, like, I don't want to take away from, I'll be quick. I really will.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think to me that's the fun. That's the fun of, like, being fucking, like, having to prove yourself, because then you get to make something like bad labor. Like, instead of just, like, sending out an email like, hey, do you want to be my mentor? Sure. Like, instead, I made a fucking movie that's now going to premiere in fucking Hollywood, and I got to do it just because I wanted to make it just for the love of that, and then I get opportunities on top of that. So to me, the challenge of doing that is just really exciting, I think.
True. I think older folks can be doing a lot more to help people like me, Chris, and Justin, and every other creative coming up. And just in general, like, again, I don't think I've had any bad experiences. I think I've had awkward experiences where I want to go interview for like this PA position, and I go into this room and it's just like these four easily like 60 plus year old white dudes and then just sitting down at a table all looking at me like, yeah, hi. Like, so you're here for this position?
Yeah, really?
It was fucking weird. It was four old white dudes. And then I left being like, I could probably take this job. But do I want to be working for four old white dudes? The answer was no. And I was like, no, I don't want to work for four old white dudes.
Yeah.
And it sucks that old white dudes are the ones that are offering the most jobs, you know? Like, that's who it is. And
it's going to change, boy. It's going to change.
It's fucking better change.
It is going to change.
And there you go. Shit's going to change. And with that, we're going to fucking wrap this baby up. Because we had a fucking long ass conversation with one of the coolest dudes to come out of Southeast LA.
It really breezed by, man. I can't tell you. This feels like only half an hour to be honest.
Man.
Fucking Jonathan Justin Jimenez, the fucking king of Southeast LA.
The king of Southeast LA.
Wow.
Jonathan Justin Jimenez, nerds. The king.
I'm fucking
giving,
I'm giving you that fucking label now, bro. You're going to get a fucking Burger King crown one of these days, bro.
Thank you so much, Hugo, for monitoring the entire session. Danny, for sticking around.
Thank you, sir.
And for giving me those approving nods. I fucking saw those, bro. Like, every time we said something those nods of approval meant everything, dude. Thank you guys for fucking listening to the Us Podcast.
Yeah, guys.
Justin, what's the last thing you want our audience to go with? Because, like, the reason we made this podcast is for, like, young brown people from... Mm-hmm. Well, this is mostly for people in Southeast LA, but we want everybody else to take away something from this, too. So, like, if you had to offer... Because, like, the thing is, we're interviewing you now before we all fucking just take
blow
off.
The fuck
this is like this is the rumblings, bro. So, like, what is the last thing you want to say to everybody before we sign you off,
bro? We're in Southgate, Google's room, doing this podcast with the sock pop filter.
That's right. That's me.
That's true.
With Danny, and some like I don't even know what headphones I'm wearing right now, bro.
JBL's
boy. I have to wake
up
early tomorrow. You could probably do it. You're fine. You're probably better off than us, but you're going to do it. So
that's
just...
true. If you're fucking complaining about not being able to do something, just know that there's five brown kids
in a room.
Sitting in a room
with some moody lights on
doing a podcast in Southeast LA. If anyone should be complaining about not being able to do it, it's fucking us.
Yeah, bro. I swear to God, if you hear this and you don't do it,
but here we are,
I'll be annoyed and I'm going to punch you. So do this.
Do it.
Whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Fucking go do it.
Yeah,
do it. For the future kids, man. I want to see
everybody. I'm
going to think
of you right now.
I want to see everybody cite, first of all, the king of Sela, John Justin Madison, me, Angel.
Who the fuck are you again?
I'm Chris Carmona, bitch.
Chris Carmona. And I'm Angel Salinas. And this was the Us Podcast. Thank you so much again for listening. And
hey, bro, listen to more episodes.
With
other people.
Soon.
Fucking listen to more, bro. We'll see you guys later.
It's all of us, bro.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey everyone, that was another episode of the Us Podcast. Make sure you catch us on our social medias. I am at Los Angel I Salinas on Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the Chris Carmona.
Make sure you follow us on social media.
No!
It's okay.
Make sure you follow the podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Write us a review. Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Please.
All right. Bye.
That sounded pretty good.